Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, as I'm sharing that verse, there's going to be this tension today through the message. Not tension as in, it's like don't take any thought to an extreme. And I'm already fumbling here with how I want to say this, and it's because of that tension. But you know, the scripture here speaks about you will reap what you sow. And oftentimes we use that in the sense of giving, you know, the blessings of God's word that says, you know, give and it shall be given back unto you. You know, as you sow, so shall you reap. But there's times where I think that we turn that the wrong way and we end up sowing to the flesh in our attempts to walk out this word of God. What do you mean by that, Roger? Well, it's like, you know, if you are giving only to receive, you're giving for the wrong reason. If you are, now the promise is there that as you sow, you will reap. But if your whole purpose in sowing, if your whole purpose in giving is so that I can get, then I think we have misused the promise of God. And we are actually giving for selfish reasons or sowing to the flesh, rather than sowing to the Spirit out of that. And so, you know, and as a pastor or preachers, I would say we are guilty at times to appeal to that nature of man, call it greed or whatever. Say, you know, the more you sow, the more you're going to reap. And everyone goes, yeah, I want to give more because I want to reap more. You know, and we use that wrongly. And so I don't want to take away from the promises of God, but at the same time, I want your heart to be right in what you're doing. And I'll get into this more in the message, but, you know, it's all dependent upon where our heart is at. You know, you'll not very often hear a pastor say, you know, if you don't have the right heart in it, don't give. You know, because usually pastors are saying, I don't care, just give. You know, whatever it takes, give. But, you know, the scripture says, you know, if you are feeling, it says don't give out of compulsion or out of duty. You know, so if your heart is feeling that, you know, well, this is, I'm just being made to do this, it's my duty to do it, then it says don't do it. And so I would encourage you, do what's right by the Spirit. Do it being led by the Spirit, not being led by the desires of the flesh. You know, the scripture says that we ask and we do not receive because we ask with the wrong motives. You know, it's possible to ask for the right things with the wrong motives. And so I'm just asking you to guard your heart and examine your heart in what you do. And know that as you sow spiritual things, you'll reap spiritual things. As you sow financial things, you'll reap financial things. But you know what? Let's do it even if there was no promised return on it. I want to give because I desire to please the Lord, because I want to bless Him today, because I want Him to receive my offering, not so what I can get out of it. Okay? Enough said on that. Let's pray. Lord, we offer these gifts up to You today as though they were just our sacrifice, as though it was only an expression of our love, not because we desire to receive back in return. We cannot disregard Your promises, and that's not our intent in doing that, Lord. But may our hearts be true, and may our hearts be pure in our giving and in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not very many announcements this morning. Just enjoy the Christmas wish for you that's in the announcement sheet. And be reminded of the Wednesday evening activities that happen here at Praise Fellowship Church. This coming Wednesday will be the last one for December, because the next two Wednesdays after that are Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, so we'll not be meeting on those Wednesday nights, but just make note of that. And then also next Sunday we will be having communion as a special part of our Christmas service celebration. And I found out too this morning from Stephanie that Jared and Elena are going to share with us a Romanian Christmas carol next Sunday. So that'll be fun. That'll be enjoyable. So praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Okay. Then if you guys want to help me distribute the notes here. Well, glory. Someone say glory.
Glory.
Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This morning early in our the girls practicing here for praise and worship time, we were discussing the pastor's job description. And part of it was to say at least one glory hallelujah on a Sunday morning. So so there. We've got enjoyable young ladies that minister here. They're a blessing. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's offer up this time to the Lord. We are absolutely dependent upon your Spirit, Lord God. When we look into the Word, we don't want to do it with natural minds or natural reasoning or even natural eyes. Lord, give us spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart to receive understanding and spiritual wisdom. May we be enlightened in the eyes of our heart, Lord, as your word says. I pray that we can have an openness to receive a message even beyond the words that I share, Lord, as you are the anointed, the anointing that is residing inside each one, and they are taught by you. They are led into all truth by your Spirit teaching them. So I pray this supernatural phenomena will take place during this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today the message that I'm sharing with you is kind of the initiation of what I believe will be a short series, but it's kind of started with the last two messages that I shared with you, which I thought were just, you know, single messages, probably could have been wrapped into a series of teaching like this. But the first message that I shared a couple of weeks ago is I entitled it The Message of Your Life, where I spoke to you about how God has reconciled man to himself, how we have been made right with God by Jesus Christ. And then the next message after that, one kind of led to the other, was that salvation is just the beginning part. That's just the initiation. And then comes the completing part in Philippians 1:6 that says, he who began a good work in you will bring it about to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So there is a completing work that continues in our life, and I call that message God's completion project. But I want to continue on today with a message that you'll see how it relates here shortly, but the first verse that I want to share from Colossians 1:28-29, and this is from the New American Standard Bible, says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Here's the purpose, here's the goal, and here is, you know, as the Apostle Paul says this, I agree with his, that this is the purpose that I labor for, and that is that I would have the opportunity to help each one of you to come to that place of completion in Christ. We need to go to video number two or input two, what, yeah. Very good, thank you. And this, you know, this is a desire that I have because, you know, God has put that in my heart to see that you have opportunity to come to that place of what the Bible calls completion. Another translation uses the word perfect, and we'll see this today in our scriptures, but it's not that anyone ever becomes completely perfect, we'll understand that, but it's talking about becoming complete. And so this is heading us today towards a message that I want to share with you about receiving rewards or reward for attaining our potential. And another verse that I want to share with you comes from Hebrews 11:6, says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him." Now, just as I was sharing with you in the offering time, there's going to be some tension in this message today, because I'm going to be sharing with you about rewards. And yet at the same time, I think that we can turn rewards around and twist them so that we are pursuing after things for the wrong reasons. And I'll just, I don't know what more to say. I'll get into it more as we go. But, you know, frequently when we would look upon this verse, we would say, yeah, rewards, rewards, rewards. But really the part that we should be focusing on is what? Say it louder. You got it. Seeking Him, or sincerely seeking Him. That's the focus of this verse. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith. If we want to come to Him, we must believe He exists. He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So the draw of this verse ought to be the sincerely seeking. And oh, by the way, you know what? There's rewards. That ought to be our attitude in that. And that's what I hope to share with you in this message. And yet at the same time, God puts those words out there as kind of an incentive program. Okay, so hopefully I can share this message the way it's rising up in my heart, and it will be transferred in that manner. So I've entitled this message "Great Rewards," and the title of the series is "Run to Win." Okay, let's talk about incentives for a little bit. Incentive is something that incites or tends to incite to action or greater effort as a reward offered for increased productivity. Or in other words, another word that I would use is stimulates. An incentive stimulates. An incentive produces action or greater effort. Okay? Let's look at some scripture along that line. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 through 27. And here's where I get the theme from of run to win. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Okay, so here we see a variety of things in here. First of all, it says everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. There's only one person gets the prize. So what's the conclusion then? It says, so run to win. Run like you're going to get the prize. Notice that it does not say, so why bother? If only one gets the prize, why bother? Obviously, it won't be me. I haven't been a winner that much in life. Basically, I've been more a loser. Loser. Got to get it right? You guys see this? Okay. Loser. I've been a loser, so why bother? That's the attitude too many people have when it comes to Christianity and attaining the potential that Jesus possessed us for, to run this race and run it in a way that we're going to discipline ourselves to run so that we can win. Athletes are disciplined in their training. Why do they discipline themselves in their training? Because their whole intent, their whole purpose is to win. You talk about the Olympic athletes. Man, they're possessed by this purpose to win. They don't care if there's competition. The competition makes them stronger because they know that they're going to have to outperform the competition. And it's not so that we are competitive in the body of Christ and I'm going to get there before you do, or I'm going to beat you, or I'm going to get your prize. It's not that way. But the whole attitude that we need to have is not so why bother, but so run to win. This is what the scripture is encouraging us. So run to win. It says that athletes here on earth, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. You know, even if it is a gold medal, you know, at some point that gold is not going to be worth anything. All things on this earth, everything that is temporary will fade away. But it says that we do it to win an eternal prize. Okay, so one of the things that we'll notice in Scripture is there are both heavenly and earthly rewards. We'll see that. But this is talking about we do it for an eternal prize, something that is beyond this life, the prize that we run to win. Okay, so the conclusion here is I run with purpose in every step. Every step has purpose to get me to that crossing line, that finish line where I come across a winner. Every step has purpose. And if we would see our lives that way, that every step, everything that we do has purpose, has meaning, has significance to it, how much more it would change the attitude of our life and what we are doing with our time and what we are doing with the gifts that God has given us. There's some things I want to share from that comes from the Growing Kids God's Way, which is the parenting curriculum that we're using. In fact, there's a class that's going through that right now. And I just went to some of the information there because I know that it deals with rewards and how to properly reward and how not to make your rewards bribes and things like that. And so I wanted to share a little bit of information from that. Talks about discipline with encouragement. And one of the things that we need to understand is that discipline is not an action taken in moments of correction, but an ongoing relationship with a mentor and a student or a parent and a child. Okay, so discipline is where we get the word disciple from. Okay, so it's not just okay, you've been bad, you need to be spanked, you know, and that's discipline. It's discipline is an ongoing relationship, okay? And discipline is both encouraging and corrective, okay? Encouraging kind of discipline includes affirmation. It includes goal incentives, which we'll look at a little bit more. Goal incentives, it includes praise and it includes rewards, okay? Encouraging discipline includes rewards. Corrective discipline includes verbal reproof, natural consequences, isolation, restrictions, loss of privileges, and chastisement. Okay, so those are some of the things involved in discipline. But one of the things we talked about was rewards. But there is a difference between rewards and bribes. Okay, bribes are offering something in exchange for good behavior before you get it. And what it is a manipulative appeal to the child's lust of the flesh or greed. And so you see the illustration, you know, if you'll brush your teeth, I'll give you $1. You know, or it might be, you know, if you're good in the grocery store, I'll get you a treat afterwards. Now, see, there's a whole difference between that and, you know what, you've been good in the grocery store today. As a result of that, I'm going to buy you a treat. The reward is different than the bribe. See, the bribe will do, it will temporarily bring them to obedience, not because they have purposed that in their heart, but to get the goods. I'll be good so I can get a treat. You know, and what is our, and I'm bringing this whole thing as to how are we looking at how God responds to us as a result of our action, as a result of our response to Him. Are we looking to God as, does God bribe us so that we'll behave, so that we'll do what we're supposed to do? Or does God say, you know what? You have done what I asked you to do, and here is the reward. Well, obviously, God does not bribe us. In fact, His Word says a significant amount about bribery and how that is wrong. But He does offer us goal incentives, and those are used to motivate development. So when we're talking about becoming complete in Christ and that place of completion, God who began the good work will bring it about to completion, there are goal incentives that are involved in that, and it is used to motivate development. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Okay, so here again, we're talking about running a race. We're talking about running to receive the prize. He says, I've not already achieved these things. In other words, I've not already reached this state of what the Bible calls perfect or complete. I'm not there yet. I've not already achieved these things. But he says, this is my purpose. I press on to possess that perfection or that completion for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. In other words, Jesus has laid hold of you for something. In the message that I shared about God's completion project, his whole purpose is to bring you to conformity to the image of Jesus. God's purpose is to make you look like Jesus. His purpose is to have you represent Jesus here on earth. And so he wants an appropriate representation of Jesus here on earth. So he continually works to bring you into the image of Jesus Christ, to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what you have been laid hold of for. And Paul is saying here, I press to possess that which I have been laid hold of, or that which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I press to possess that. Okay, so that's his goal, that's his purpose, to press to possess that. So he says, I focus on this thing. He says, I forget, forgetting what the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on, he keeps using those words, press on to possess, press to possess, to reach the end of the race. To receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So here again, the Lord is saying there is a prize at the end of the race. Run to win that prize. Now, God does not use this as bribery. What is his purpose is for us to come into that completion, to become all the potential that he has laid hold of us for. The whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth to die, the whole purpose of Jesus making us right with God, the whole purpose of us being reconciled to God and our sin forgiven, to be made righteous, the whole purpose of that is to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to press for. And the Lord says, thank you, Daryl. The Lord says, thank you, Daryl. And the Lord says, that's what I laid hold of you for. And oh, by the way, there is a prize which awaits for you. A heavenly prize. See, remember, Paul said, you know, the athletes here on earth, they do it to win a prize that fades away. But we run this race to win an eternal prize, a heavenly prize. Hallelujah. Okay, so, but there is endurance involved, just like with every athlete and every athlete that disciplines his body to be able to run the race to win, there is also endurance involved for us. And so Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 speak regarding that, running the race with endurance, and the things that we need to do in order to continue to run. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Okay? I read one extra verse there, but that's good. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I believe by the Spirit of God, something happens when I read that verse. You want to know what happens? When I say the word sin, the Spirit of God speaks to you what that is in your life. Okay, I don't have to sit here and point it out or even try, or, you know, I'd first have to point the finger at myself. You know, but the Spirit of God will speak those things to us as we read the Word of God. Remember, it is alive. it pierces asunder the heart and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. It pierces the Word of God is that living, active, two-edged sword. And so when this Word of God is read, I believe that the Spirit of God speaks through His Word. And He will say to you what sin needs to be cast off, what sin needs to be stripped off, every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Why? Because there is a race to run and a race to win. There is a finish line for us to attain to in this life. It's what Jesus has possessed us for, laid hold of us for, and we need to press to possess that. It says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do that? It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Now, there's the two messages of salvation and completion, or the message of your life that I shared about being reconciled to God, and then God's completion project. He completes or He perfects our faith. He brings it about to completion. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates that, brings that salvation, and also perfects or continues to complete our faith. And then he goes on to say, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. See, God doesn't want us giving up. God does not want us saying, I'm a loser, so why bother? He does not want us giving up, so he wants us to endure. And so he says, well, just compare yourself with what Jesus had to endure. Okay? So then let's talk about some great rewards. And as I shared with you, Scripture speaks of both heavenly and earthly rewards. In fact, it's very prolific in the Word. One of these messages that I share with you, I believe I will just go through some of the Scripture that speak about rewards that you receive. Okay, and what I believe that is happening as when God is speaking these rewards, both heavenly and earthly rewards, I believe that God appeals to our sense of achievement and our desire to win or to overcome or to rule. Remember, we have been created in His image. God rules, God overcomes, God wins. He's put that within us too. The desire to achieve, the desire to fulfill purpose. God has put that in us. So God appeals to that sense of that's within us as a result of being created in His image, that sense of achievement and desire to win or overcome or to rule. Incentives are, this is a question that I came up with, is what prevents these from being bribes? If God says, run the race and at the end of the race there is a prize for you, isn't that just like mom saying, if you behave yourself in the grocery store, I'll give you a treat? What prevents these things from being bribes? What prevents us from only having temporary obedience so we can get the goods instead of a heart that has been made right with God, or a heart that pursues after God? I don't know if I have the complete answer to that. Like I said, this was a tension for me. In fact, I visited with Steve Green when we were out cutting wood last weekend. I said, I'm having this issue with, I know there's a difference between rewards and bribes, but does God bribe us? I know He doesn't, but sometimes it appears that way, is that the prize or the reward has been put out there. So you can see that there is a goal incentive. There is an incentive for you to achieve this Christ-likeness or to win this race, to run this race with endurance. But I think I have some insight here that I will share with you, and I believe it's limited insight at this point. Maybe more will come as we go. But first of all, incentives, I thought I was at my notes, but okay, one more comment here. It's what I've already been saying. We can wrongly turn it into stimulation of the lust of the flesh or greed. When we look at the rewards or the prize that God has for us, we can twist that. And just as I shared in the offering time that, we can give with only the purpose to receive. And then I think our giving is wrong. It has the wrong motive. It's been turned into a stimulation of the lust of the flesh or greed. Okay, so let's talk about rewards are both good and bad. We'll see that in Scripture. And when we talk about incentives, a person can be stimulated in one of two ways, a reward for accomplishment, but also fear of punishment. Another word for reward is recompense, or you get what is due you. And the Scripture actually says that. We'll look at that passage here in just a second. But the incentives can actually be a reward for accomplishment or for a fear of punishment. And, you know, as children, we are in training our children, we also instill that in them. And in one sense, it is instilling the fear of God, not as in, I'm afraid of you, Lord God, but as in, I respect you, God, and I respect your word, and I know that there are consequences for disobedience. Okay, so there can be the fear of punishment as well. So here's something that I think can help us in this this tension of rewards versus bribes, and that is see the rewards as natural consequences. Because really, that is what it is. The reward that you receive, whether good or bad, is really a natural consequence. Let me just share this verse as an example, which really doesn't say anything about reward, but I believe it is a tremendous example of natural consequences. Isaiah 26, verse 3 from the NIV says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast," or King James translation says, "he whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you." So here is a natural consequence of our trusting in the Lord, or keeping our mind stayed on the Lord, perfect peace. Now, how many of you know that functioning in perfect peace is a tremendous reward compared to anxiety, worry, fear, stress? I'd choose perfect peace any day. I've walked in both, and I know one's a lot healthier and a lot more enjoyable. And that is perfect peace. But this scripture says, if we'll keep our focus on the Lord, and if we'll keep our mind stayed on him and our trust in him, a natural result of that will be perfect peace. Now, we don't just go to it, so I'm just going to follow God because I want this perfect peace. But it's a natural result. It's a natural consequence of our focusing on him, of keeping our mind stayed on him and trusting in him. So rewards, good or bad, are really, really natural consequences of our choice. Excuse me. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10. I trust, this is where I'm really absolutely, as I prayed before the message, absolutely dependent upon the Spirit of God to impart this revelation to you, because at times when I'm sharing my own tensions, I wonder, am I just confusing them? Am I just bribes, rewards? What's the difference? I'm lost. You know, I trust that the Spirit of God is going to impart the revelation to you, whether I speak it absolutely clearly or not. And that is not an excuse on my part to not try to be clear, but he can get it across even if I have struggled doing it. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. You know what? I'm going to start back a little farther. I had started back earlier in this passage in my notes, and then I thought, you know what? This message is going to get really long, but we have lots of time today here. So I'm going to start back with verse 1. This is so good. "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit." Let me just comment on this before I go on. You know, when you're young, and we talk about the return of Jesus Christ and being very soon, young people always say, "Yes, but wait, dear Jesus, until you know, usually the next thing in their life when they're considering that is until I have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or until I get married, or until I have children. And then it goes on to until I become a grandparent. You know, we keep having these reasons for putting off, but there gets to be a point where you just start groaning and you say, oh, come Lord Jesus, come quickly Lord Jesus, or Lord, I'm ready to come home to you. I'm ready to dispense of this earthly body. I remember my grandmother who was in the Fairview Care Center or Fairview Nursing Home back at that point before she passed away. And she said, you know, I just pray that it will be quick. It's what she'd ask me when I would come, because she was so ready to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord and to be present with Grandpa. You know, she, yes, Melanie was pregnant with Carrie, and she says, I'm not going to wait. And she didn't. She died in, I think it was August, was it, Dad? When Grandma Langworthy died? Anyway, it was months before Carrie was born. Anyway, but then, you know, and I some of you will remember Margaret Lewis, who passed away a few years ago, and she would, I'd go and visit her, and she'd say, oh, I don't know why I'm still here. You know, I said, well, God has purpose for you, Margaret. You're a prayer warrior, and you need to keep praying for us, and, you know, that kind of thing. But there gets to be a point in our lives where we're ready to discard this because we groan waiting for that heavenly body or that that new being that we will be in the Lord's presence. And so anyway, on from there, it says that the Spirit of God, this is what's really cool. The Spirit of God in verse 5 has been given to us as a guarantee of this. You know how the Scripture says, what's the Scripture passage? Someone can help me out here. It says, if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he gives life to your mortal flesh. So if the same... We have in us the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. There is no question. That is our guarantee. There is no question about us being raised from the dead. There is no question about us receiving life in these mortal bodies, these perishable bodies becoming imperishable. And that's something all of us have to look forward to. And the older you get, the more you look forward to it. You young people have no understanding what I'm saying, but you elderly do know, don't you? Enough on that. Okay. Define elderly. No way am I going to define elderly. Although I would say probably I am one of them. Anyway, sometimes this body. It doesn't have anything to do with age. All I know is once in a while this old body groans, says, oh, I can't wait for, you know, the renewal of all things. Okay, so here we're at verse 6. You got me all distracted now. Verse 6 says, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. Okay, so here's the things that I want to point out in here. Whether here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. That ought to be the focus. Even when we're looking at this verse that's next going to talk about reward, this is the goal. He's presenting this as the goal. This is the goal. Please Him. So in other words, obedience out of a heart, a desire to please Father. Not because there's a treat at the end, because I've been good in the grocery store. But my desire is to please Father. My desire is to please Mother when I'm going through the grocery store with her in the grocery cart. I don't want to throw a fit because I want to please Mother. Not so I can get something so she'll, you know, have me shut up. You know, that's not what this is all about. And that's what our goal ought to be, to please Him, no matter in the body or out of the body, to please Him. Then it goes on to say we will all be judged. Each will receive what we deserve for the good or the evil done in this earthly body. So now, you know, One of my questions for you in the interaction time is, how does this verse make you feel? What's your response? You know, when you know that you'll receive what you deserve for the good or the evil. Remember, rewards are really natural consequences. Okay, so since we'll be rewarded for the good or the evil done in this body, then I want to challenge you with this next verse, Ephesians 2:10, again, your purpose in life. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Okay, so His whole purpose, His whole plan is for us to walk in these things after Christ, to do good things, to do good deeds. Our salvation is not earned by good deeds by any means. It is only by the grace of God. But the purpose of God is for us to walk in the likeness of Christ and do good things, even as He did, to become conformed to His image. We, a long time ago, planned for us to walk in these good, to do these good things. Okay, so my conclusion is, to wrap this up very briefly, is first of all, run to win or attain your potential. It's going to be another whole series, I can tell, attaining your potential. Okay, run to win, attain your potential. Strip off the weights that cause you to stumble. Make it your goal to please the Lord. Do the things He has planned for you and win the prize or receive the reward or the natural consequences of you serving Him. Okay? Before we pray, then, I want to go into the questions for the interaction time. Just stir you and stimulate you with these. And if you do the questions, there will be treats for you. We're going to hold the treats off until you've done the questions. If you're just going to fellowship, you don't get treats. Okay, Lord, forgive me. I was just trying to bribe you. But now that you have been, I believe, stirred or provoked, I believe you will do the questions, interaction questions, before the fellowship. Okay, so first of all, ask each other, what kind of response do you have when you hear the words, all will be judged for their deeds, whether good or bad? Is it fear and trepidation or excited anticipation? And how can you reward your children without bribing them? How can you get their response to be one of desiring to please you rather than a temporary obedience to get the goods? And then how can you give God the same response that you would want from your children? And then lastly, in what ways do you believe God rewards those who sincerely seek Him? And share some personal experiences. See what I mean by the Spirit of God imparting beyond my words? Okay, share some personal experiences of these rewards. Okay, let's pray. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you so much for the work that you do in us, that work of completing. And Lord, you have presented to us very prolifically in your word the rewards that come. But Father, help us not to just pursue after the rewards, but help us, Lord, to pursue after the purpose that you have intended for us, that attaining that completion, attaining the end of the race, Lord, winning that race as you desire for us to run with endurance, Lord, and to set off the weights and the sins that would prevent us from running and running with endurance. And Father, I just pray that, as I've shared, that there would be a supernatural impartation, Lord, of the significance of these words, of this project that you desire to complete and the natural consequences of us walking in the completion of that. Thank you, Lord, for your rewards and that they are great. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord bless you, and you are dismissed for your interaction time and your